RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, Headline News, and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Police suspect mastermind behind Tolikara case. Nahdlatul Ulama says there must be no more conflict over religions. Now the news in detail. National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti said that there might be intellectual masterminds behind the conflict that broke out in Tolikara, Papua, involving Muslims celebrating Eid and Christians of the Evangelical Church of Indonesia on July 17. According to Badruddin, no suspect has been named yet in this case. However, Badruddin promised that both arsonists and shooters will be brought before justice. Badruddin added that 11 wounded victims could be involved in the stone throwing against Muslims who were conducting the Eid prayer. Badruddin revealed that police would also probe two persons who signed the circular letter banning Muslims from conducting the Eid prayer in Tolikara. Badruddin explained that the National Police would work with Religious Affairs Ministry, the National Intelligence Agency, and other agencies. President of the Evangelical Church of Indonesia, Reverend Dorman Wandingbo, apologized to all Muslims in Indonesia on Saturday, July 19, especially Muslims in Tolikara, Papua, who were affected by an incident. He also said that there was a misunderstanding in perceiving the incident. Dorman said over the weekend that Evangelical Church of Indonesia would like to extend apology to all Muslims in Indonesia, especially in Tolikara Regency, for the burning of kiosks there that also caused a musola or small mosque caught on fire. He also said the burning of the musola was not a deliberate action. Former chairman of the Ansor Youth Movement of the Nahdlatul Ulama, Khatibul Umam Wiranu, in a press release on Sunday, July 19, said that both the Ansor members and the civilian security guards, or Banser, have been too busy safeguarding churches during religious service there. Because of that, he said they have forgot their main duties, safeguarding mosques and mushalas or small mosques. Wiranu also said that Tolikara incident Papua has served as an introspection for both the Ansor Youth Movement and the Banser so that they do not forget the main goal of their establishment. State-owned seaport operator PT ASDP Indonesia reported that homecoming travelers transported by ferries between 15 days before Idul Fitri until Idul Fitri days reached 2.47 million passengers. Data from Lebaran Post of the ASDP of the Indonesian Transportation Ministry on July 18 showed that the number of passengers was based on more than 15,000 trips from 16 ports. From the number, around 350,000 cars, buses, and trucks dominated the ferries, while the number of motorcycles transported by the ferries reached nearly 300,000 units. Ketapang Port saw the biggest number of homecoming travelers, followed by Gilimanuk and Merak ports. This news comes to you by the Voice of Indonesia. Indonesia's women's double pair Gracia Poli'i and Nitya Krisinda Maheswari successfully met their promise to become a champion at Taiwan Badminton Open 2015 on Sunday, July 19th. Gracia Nitya won the championship after beating their Chinese opponents Luo Ying Luo Yu in a straight set 21-17, 21-17 in 46 minutes at the Taiwan Arena. The world's fifth-ranked duo retained the title they won last year. The best Indonesian women's double players had to fight hard before enjoying the victory, which is the third out of four matches against the Chinese pair so far. Gracia and Nitya were the only Indonesian players taking part in the championship who were able to present a champion title. Their fellow countrymen Kevin Sanjaya Sukomulyo and Marcus Fernaldi Gideon, despite their success to reach the final round of the men's double event, finally failed to win a champion title. Bali exported 1 million stone sculpture crafts to several countries and has earned the country $15 million in revenue between January and June this year, head of section of Foreign Trade of Bali Department of Trade and Industries, Made Swastika, stated. According to Swastika, the sculptures shape like various animals such as frog, horse, or primordial man have been exported to several countries or on for ornaments in gardens, houses, or offices. Bali exported many sculptures and souvenirs made from limestone in Silakarang, Batubulan, and Gianyar region. The main markets of limestone sculptures are USA and Australia, in addition to other European countries, one of the sculpture craftsmen Iketut Kencana said in his workshop. Kencana pointed out that Buddha statue in various sizes also appealed international markets such as Japan, France, Germany, and other European countries. Meanwhile, demand for antique sculptures and other crafts made from limestone is still strong. The export commodities, mostly sculptures in various shapes and size, are able to attract the attention of foreign tourists who were enjoying a holiday on the Dewata Island. Lani Jaya Regency in Papua was hit by hail and snow for the first 10 days of July, said the National Disaster Mitigation Agency. The extreme weather had claimed 7 lives, 5 children and 2 infants. Head of Public Relations and Information Data Center of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, Sutopo Purwonugroho, on Sunday, July 19, said, due to the extreme weather, some parts of Papua had been hit by drought after snow hit several areas. The agency also reported that the snowfall covered potato plants, and once the snow melted, potato foliage dried up and the tubers became poisonous and was not edible. Three regencies there that were hit by the snow were Ndunga Regency, Puncak Regency, and Lani Jaya Regency, covering 21 villages in 6 districts and more than 20,000 households. To end the news, Here are the main points once again. Police suspect mastermind behind Tolikara case. Nahdlatul Ulama says there must be no more conflict over religions. That was the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary. And today's commentary is on Idul Fitri 1436 Hijrah and some notes. Idul Fitri, or Lebaran Day, which this year fell on July the 17th, is the most important religious holiday in Indonesia, considering the majority of the population are Muslims. For most Indonesian Muslims, the day is a momentum to return to their hometowns and strengthen relationship with parents, relatives, and friends. The event is popularly known as Mudik. Because of the massive number of people traveling, mostly from the big cities to small towns or villages, the movement is often called exodus, much effort must be made by travelers to be able to celebrate Lebaran at home. Among others, people have to struggle to get bus, train, or airplane tickets. Not to mention traffic jams and various other obstacles, such as extreme weather and inadequate infrastructure. However, various problems seem to fade away once they reach their hometown and get together with relatives and friends on the festive day. Unfortunately, this year some people had to miss the opportunity to spend a special day with friends and relatives right on the 1st of Sawal due to increased activity of Mount Raung, at least for those who plan to travel by plane from and to the airports in East Java. Garuda Indonesia Airlines cancelled at least 41 flights scheduled to and from Juanda Airport in Surabaya on July 17, 2015, following the issuance of notice to airmen on the extension of the closure of Juanda International Airport Surabaya due to Mount Raung activity until Friday, July 17, 2015 at 12 p.m. Banyuwangi, Mount Raung showed increased activities. As a result, a number of flights had been delayed or cancelled. Residents were asked to be more vigilant. Those who should be more vigilant due to increased volcanic activities is the people of Ternate, North Maluku. They are asked to be on alert of ash spewing from Mount Gamalama, which on July the 18th reached a height of 7,000 feet. Another note of concern around this Lebaran day is a mosque burning incident in Tolikara, Papua at the time of Idul Fitri, Friday, July the 17th. This incident immediately got the attention from the central government. Indonesian police chief Badrodin Haiti directly flew to Kabuaga, Tolikara, Papua. According to the head of Public Information Bureau of National Police Headquarters, Agus Rianto, National Police Chief Badrodin Haiti left for Papua to review and hold dialogue with some elements and community leaders there. This incident became quite important note and needs special handling, given the religious issues are very prone to misunderstanding that may lead to conflict. Indonesia should be carefully and thoroughly deal with this problem. Don't let the tolerance between faiths in Indonesia, which is often admired by other countries, become faded. Introspection and vigilance among religious communities in Indonesia should be further improved. Well, that was commentary today on some note on Idul Fitri days.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on July 20, 1969, when Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon. Listener, Neil Alden Armstrong was an American astronaut and the first person to walk on the moon. He was also an aerospace engineer, naval aviator, test pilot, and university professor. Before becoming an astronaut, Armstrong was an officer in the U.S. Navy, and served in the Korean War. After the war, he earned his bachelor's degree at Purdue University and served as a test pilot at the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics High-Speed Flight Station, now known as the Dryden Flight Research Center, where he logged over 900 flights. He later completed graduate studies at the University of Southern California. Armstrong's second and last space flight was as mission commander at the Apollo 11 moon landing in July 1969. On this mission, Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin descended to the lunar surface and spent 2.5 hours exploring, while Michael Collins remained in lunar orbit in the command module. And the next event was in 1979 when Viking 1 landed on Mars. Viking 1 was the first of two spacecraft, along with the Viking 2, sent to Mars as part of NASA's Viking program. Following launch using a Titan or Centaur launch vehicle on August 20, 1975, and a 10-month cruise to Mars, the orbiter began returning global images of Mars about 5 days before orbit insertion. The Viking 1 orbiter was inserted into Mars orbit on June 19, 1976 and trimmed to 1513 times 33,000 kilometers, 24.68 site certification orbit on June 21st. Landing on Mars was planned for July 4, 1976, the United States by Centennial, but imaging of the primary landing site showed it was too rough for a safe landing. The landing was delayed until a safer site was found. The lander separated from the orbiter on July 20, 8:51 hours UTC, and landed at 11:53 hours 6 seconds UTC. It was the first attempt by the U.S. at landing on Mars. And the last event was in 1951 when Abdullah I bin al-Hussein, King of Jordan, was killed. Abdullah I bin al-Hussein, King of Jordan, born in Mecca, Hejaz, Ottoman Empire, now Saudi Arabia, was the second of three sons of Hussein bin Ali, Sharif and Emir of Mecca, and his first wife, Abdiyah bin Abdullah. He was educated in Constantinople and Hejaz. From 1909 to 1914, Abdullah sat in the Ottoman legislature as deputy for Mecca, but allied with Britain during World War I. Between 1916 to 1918, working with the British guerrilla leader T.E. Lawrence, he played a key role as architect and planner of the Great Arab Revolt against Ottoman rule, leading guerrilla raids on garrisons. He was the ruler of Transjordan and its successor state Jordan. On July 20, 1951, Abdullah, while visiting Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, was shot dead by a Palestinian from the Husseini clan. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is Anna Reward Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. For today's edition, it's on the Indonesian government meeting with the European Commission to discuss Schengen visa exemption. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id.
Focus, daily news and events.
Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has met with Vice President of the European Commission and European Commissioner for Regulatory Affairs, Intergovernmental Relations, Rule of Law and the Charter of Fundamental Rights, Mr. Frans Timmermans. The meeting was intended, among others, to discuss the issue of Schengen visa exemption for Indonesian citizens, holders of ordinary or green passport. During the meeting, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi expressed the need for Schengen member countries to give visa exemption as a reciprocity measures for tourist visa-free policy given to most members of the Schengen recently through Indonesian Presidential Decree No. 69/2015. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi also stressed that Indonesia is the first Southeast Asian country that has a partnership and cooperation agreement as well as forestry agreement with the European Union, as well as the largest economy in Southeast Asia. Visa application rejection rate of Indonesia is also very low, only about 1.1% in 2014. And the number of European Union immigration policy violations by Indonesian citizens was minimal. Minister Retno Marsudi disclosed to the media recently that Indonesian government has sought to European Commission to provide Schengen visas for citizens of Indonesia because Indonesia and the European Union has had a partnership cooperation agreement. I met with the first Vice President of the European Commission, Frans Timmermans. Besides talking about bilateral relations, we also addressed the issue of our request that Indonesian citizens to get a Schengen visa. We presented some of the facts. Indonesia, for example, is the first country which has a cooperation partnership agreement with the European Union. Furthermore, Indonesia is also the first country in Southeast Asia that has agreements with the European Union in the field of forestry. Meanwhile, in another context, Mr. Frans Timmermans will note Indonesia's request and will explore further the issue of the said visa liberalization. The meeting between Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs and Vice President of the European Commission was also used to discuss the European Union's potential contribution to development in Indonesia, especially in the infrastructure sector and maritime. In addition, the two sides also discussed the European Union's increased cooperation with ASEAN countries, especially in relation to issues of handling illegal immigrants and refugees, as well as transnational organized crime. Minister Retno Marsudi will further discuss various matters relating to the Schengen visa exemption with European Union High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, Federica Mogherini, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia at the beginning of next month on the sidelines of the 48th ASEAN Ministerial Meeting. Well, that was Focus of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here is news in brief. National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti said that there might be intellectual masterminds behind the conflict that broke out in Tolikara, Papua, involving Muslims celebrating Eid and Christians of the Evangelical Church of Indonesia on July 17. President of the Evangelical Church of Indonesia, Reverend Dorman Wandikmbo, apologized to all Muslims in Indonesia on Saturday, July 18, especially Muslims in Tolikara, Papua, who were affected by an accident. Former chairman of the Ansar Youth Movement of the Nahdlatul Ulama, Khatibul Umam Wiranu, in a press release on Sunday, July 19, said that both the Ansar members and the civilian security guards, or Bansar, have been too busy safeguarding churches during religious service there. Because of that, he said, they have forgot their main duties, safeguarding mosques and musolas, or small mosques. State-owned seaport operator PT ASDP Indonesia reported that homecoming travelers transported by ferries between 15 days before Idul Fitri until Idul Fitri Day reached 2.47 million passengers. Indonesia's women's double pair Grecia Poli'i and Nitya Krishinda Maheswari successfully met their promise to become a champion at Taiwan Badminton Open 2015 on Sunday, July 19th. Bali exported a million stone sculpture crafts to several countries and had earned the country $15 million in revenue between January and June this year. Lani Jaya Regency in Papua was hit by hail and snow for the first 10 days in July, said the National Disaster Mitigation Agency. The extreme weather had claimed 7 lives, 5 children, and 2 infants. That was news in brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again on Indonesia Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Steve. In today's edition, I'd like to introduce you to the Kocor Cake. Stay tuned. Listener, Idul Fitri or Lebaran Day, marking the end of Ramadan fasting month, is not complete without typical Eid dish. Every region of Indonesia has its own Eid dish, but there are some food which are generally served by every Indonesian family. Usually they serve ketupat and opor ayam. Ketupat is made from rice which is wrapped with plated young coconut leaf, while the opor ayam is made of chicken which is boiled with the thick seasoning and coconut milk. For Maduranese people East Java, especially Gaga villagers in Kadru sub-district, Pamekasan Madura East Java province, Lebaran is not complete if there is no Kocor Cake. The sweet cake made from simple raw material must be served when Idul Fitri festivity comes. The cake is made from flour and sugar. It can also use palm sugar sometimes. To make the cake is quite easy. First, the flour, sugar, and a little bit water are steeped well. After that, the dough is fried. It tastes so sweet. This cake is served for Lebaran dish at home. Some usually bring the cakes when visiting relatives. Kucur cake is usually eaten with hot coffee. As menu during Lebaran or Idul Fitri festivity, kucur cake can last until 20 days. The cake has become favorite cake during Lebaran festivity. Besides Idul Fitri, these cakes are also served in other religious festivities such as Idul Adha or to celebrate the birth of Prophet Muhammad. On those days, kucur seems to be obligatory, the food which must be served to the relatives and close family. Besides the religious days, it is not easy to find this traditional cake. Listener, besides kucur cake, Madranese people also has a compulsory course in Lebaran Day. One of them is adun sos. Adun sos is made from roasted chicken, which is cooked with coconut milk and spices. Like kucur cake, this food is also very special because it can last longer. This food is also brought when visiting the relatives. Adun food is also served on certain moments, such as the 21st of Ramadan night, or the first night, or the Lailatul Qadar night. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring kucur cake, the special dish served during Idul Fitri or Lebaran festivity in Madura. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Bingkisan Lebaran, which is in English means gift for Lebaran. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Berbelanja. Berbelanja, which means shopping. Bermacam-macam. Bermacam-macam, which means variety. Barang. Barang, which means goods. Bingkisan Lebaran. Bingkisan Lebaran, which means Lebaran gives. Kue tart. Kue tart, which means tart. Tetangga. Tetangga, which means neighbor. Kue kering. Kue kering, which means cookies. Sirup. Sirup, which means syrup. Pembantu laki-laki. Pembantu laki-laki, which means male servant. Sopir. Sopir, which means driver. Satpam. Satpam, which means security. Baju muslim. baju Muslim, which means Muslim dress. Kerudung. Kerudung, which means scarf. Mukena. Mukena, which means mukena. Pembantu perempuan. Pembantu perempuan, which means female servant. Buah-buahan. Buah-buahan, which means fruits. Ibu mertua perempuan. Ibu mertua perempuan, which means mother-in-law. Pulang kantor. Pulang kantor, which means home office. Now, we give you an example of conversation entitled Bingkisan Lebaran, or in English means Give for Lebaran. The conversation is between A. Nita and B. Ika at the office. A. Nita. Saya mau berbelanja ke mall untuk membeli bermacam-macam barang untuk bingkisan Lebaran. Saya mau berbelanja ke mall untuk membeli bermacam-macam barang untuk bingkisan Lebaran. Which means, I want to go to mall for shopping to buy various goods for Lebaran's gifts. B. Ika. Kamu mau membeli apa saja? Kamu mau membeli apa saja? Which means, what do you want to buy? Bingkisan Lebaran itu untuk siapa saja? Bingkisan Lebaran itu untuk siapa saja? Which means, who do you want to give the Lebaran package? A. Nita. Saya mau membeli kue tart untuk tetangga saya. Saya mau membeli kue tart untuk tetangga saya, which means I want to buy tart for my neighbor. Kue kering, sirup, dan sarung juga untuk pembantu laki-laki, supir, dan satpam. Kue kering, sirup, dan sarung juga untuk pembantu laki-laki, supir, dan satpam, which means cookies, syrup, and sarong for my male servant, driver, and the security. Selain itu, saya juga akan membeli baju muslim, kerudung, dan mukena untuk pembantu perempuan. Selain itu, saya juga akan membeli baju muslim, kerudung, dan mukena untuk pembantu perempuan. Which means, besides, I also want to buy Muslim dress, scarf, and mukena, or praying clothes for women, for female servants. Saya ikut ya. Saya ikut ya, which means, I'll join you. Saya juga mau membeli buah-buahan untuk ibu mertua saya. Saya juga mau membeli buah-buahan untuk ibu mertua saya. Which means, I also want to buy fruits for my mother-in-law. A. Nita. Baiklah, pulang kantor. Kamu tunggu saya di lobi kantor. Baiklah, pulang kantor. Kamu tunggu saya di lobi kantor, which means, alright, wait for me at lobby after work. B. Ika. Baiklah, sampai nanti. Baiklah, sampai nanti, which means, okay, see you. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to learn Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa.
Is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015 at gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll invite you to enjoy keroncong songs sung by Indonesian male singer M. Rifani. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Telaga Dewa. Happy listening. Terdapat telaga dewa Dear listener, the song Telaga Dewa tells about the beauty of the lake shimmering in the moonlight. The lake is located at the top of the mountain, which is believed to be a sacred lake during an era of the Siliwangi Kingdom. This song is very thick with a Javanese rhythm, which was later covered in Kroncong Genre by M. Rifani. The man from Pangkal Pinang, South Sumatra, was joined the Tetap Segar Orchestra, has brought and introduced the Kroncong beat in the New York World's Fair in 1964. At that time, Rudy Pirngadi introduced Kroncong to the international world. Besides M. Rifani, a number of other Kroncong singers like Rita Zahara and Sayakti succeed to bring the Kroncong genre and attract the attention of American public to the Indonesian original music genre when accompanied a well-known song, I Left My Heart in San Francisco. Kroncong beat is a concept featuring kroncong rhythm in the form of cello, ukulele, and guitar to accompany all kinds of songs, including the Western songs. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Ariati. Happy listening.
Dengan tu dosakah hamba mengujani kau dalam mimpi? Hanya dalam mawar di taman hayalku, tak mungkin Tuhan terpetik daku. Namun aku bahagia seribu satu dosakah hamba mimpi berkasih dengan Tuhan? Ujung jarimu ku cium mesra tadi malam. Dosakah hamba seribu satu malam.
Well, listener, the song Aryati is one of the Ismail Marzuki's works, an Indonesian very productive and talented composer. The song tells about admiration for a man to a woman, then carried away in a dream. Although love may not be reciprocated, the man always feels happy. Aryati, an old song with lyrics, but it is always accepted and enjoyed by music lovers until at present. Not only in the Kroncong genre, the song is also sung in pop genre by singers in the country. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Pasir Putih. Happy listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you.
pasir putih di pantai Pulau Jawa, sungguh indah letaknya.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.